The top of Chaf Gimel Mid Beis. We saw the Mishnah last time, but let's see it again. Shtei Nashim Shenishbu. So we have the case of women, in this case two women who were taken into captivity, and there are Edim who come to testify in Bezdin to that effect. Zos Omeres Nishbesi Utahorani. Vizos Omeres Nishbesi Utahorani. Each one wants to testify on herself. So she's not testifying on behalf of the other Shvuya at this particular point in the Reisha of the Mishnah. And she has no Peshasa Peshahitir because we already have objective, independent evidence to the fact that she was a Shvuya. So therefore, she's not believed on herself to testify that she did not have this Maisa Onis that would disqualify her for a Kohen, and therefore we have to assume that the regular din of Shvuya kicks in over here. Unless we can get someone to testify on her behalf, that's the Sefer. Ubizman Shein Meidos Zo as Zo. If each one of these two ladies testifies about the other one, that she's Tahora, meaning that she did not have this onus, then one aid is sufficient. Hare Elu Ne'emanos.
And why we don't believe her aid is about herself is that...
Because that's not considered objective aid.
It's not objective.
We need someone who's objective, who's testifying about her. Or if she had a Peshasa Peshahitir, as we discussed in the previous Mishnah, but here there are Edim that testify that she was a Shvuya, and therefore her din is that of a Shvuya. The only way of saving a Shvuya and, so to speak, redeeming a Shvuya is through the Edus of at least one person. That person, by the way, could be an Isha, like in our case. And the Mishnah later on Daf Chav Zayin is going to establish that it could even be an Eved, a Shivcha, those who aren't usually believed in a court of law, in a Bezdin, nevertheless they can be believed on this Eidus, but we need at least one testimony, one witness who is objective that could be Mitayrha. So all these Dinim that we're learning in the Mishnah will be clarified in the Sugya, first in this Sugya and then in the next Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going to introduce a Braisa which has four parts to it, and we're going to spend up until the next Mishnah all the way in the bottom of the page to try to analyze these four parts. And on two different levels. First of all, we're going to try to figure out what the case is in each of these four parts, and secondly, what's the Chiddush in each of these four parts, because it seems at some point repetitive. So let's go through the four sections. So the first section, which they call in the Gemara later on the Reisha of the Reisha, is Anit Mea V'Chaverti Tahora. She says about herself, confessing, that she had this Maisa Onis, this Be'ila to the Goy. And therefore, by her own confession, she is Psula L'Kohen. Now again, we don't know yet, and that's going to be the main thrust of the Sugya, whether or not there are two Edim here.
Well, just the
Lashon
of Tmeya, is that a...
Tmeya is a Lashon of Tumas Kohen.
In other words, she's the Kohen.
Right, she's Tmeya to the Kohen. But then on the other hand, she's one witness testifying on behalf of a friend. And that's Nemanis, then she's believed. Now again, when it says Nemanis here, it really means on both counts. But in the first count, that she's Tmeya, that's no big deal. There's not... Yeah, that's not a big chiddush. If she admits that she's asura, that's called shavya nafshe chaticha di sura, and that would apply, by the way, even if there were no edim to testify that she was a shvuya. She herself admits that she was a shvuya and she was a tmeya, and therefore she's psula l'kohen by her own confession.
It is identical to our mishnah.
Correct. Because we saw already in our Mishnah, well actually, if you take a look in our Mishnah doesn't have a case where she admits that she was Tmeya.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, she's not believed, even though she says she's a Tahora. How much more so if she herself admits that she's Tmeah? So it would seem that the Chiddush here in this Braisa is really that her testimony about her friend has credibility, and even though she is one witness and she's a woman, so normally she would be psul edus. Okay, Aaron, this is your last shiur, huh? Well, we're not
makabel in person.
Yeah, okay. We'll see if we can work it out over the internet somehow. Okay, so we just started the braisa on Daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. Tana Rabbanan. You see it? It's line 4. So again, the Reisha of the Reisha, there are going to be 4 parts of this Mishnah, this Braisa. She testifies about herself with a confession that during the time of her captivity she was violated by this guy, and therefore she's invalid, she's disqualified to a Kohen, and that we can accept. The Chiddush of this Reisha, the Reisha, is that she can testify about her friend that her friend did not have this be'ila, and she's therefore tahora l'kohen, and she's believed. And why is that? As far as her credibility for herself, that's called shavya nafshi chaticha disura. If a person admits that this is asur for me, then it's asur. But as far as the second case, meaning where it's one case, but where she testifies on her friend, then there's a new halacha here that's being established, which we already learned in our Mishnah, that to be metayer, a shvuya, all you need is the testimony of one person. Mm-hmm. Now we go on to what's called the Sefer of the Reisha. Ani tahora v'chaverti tmeya. Now again, she's not objective and an aid on herself. And therefore, as far as herself is concerned, for sure, ain't an emenis. And again, we're going to have to assume, and the Gemara is going to go through all these calculations, that we're talking about a case where she doesn't have a peshas or peshahitir, which means that there are eidim that testify that she's a shvuya. But now she's testifying that chaverti tmeya. Now, what's the deal over here? If we had no evidence whatsoever as far as her friend, other than the fact that 2 Aiden testified that her friend was taken into captivity, that itself would be enough to place her friend into the state of disqualification for Kuhuna, of Tmeya Lakuna. And therefore, this statement that Einan Emenes, that she's not believed to say Chaverti Tmeya, makes no sense. And this is what the Gemara is going to pick up over here. It would only... What do you say?
We believe her regarding her saying that she's Tahor, so why wouldn't we believe her for Tmeah?
Well, again, she's not believed to say about herself that she's Tahora because...
No, we believe her
about the friend.
About the friend.
Oh, she would be believed about her friend, testify that her friend is Tahora. Why is she not believed to say that she's a Tmeah when even in the absence of her testimony, we would assume, nevertheless assume that her friend is a Tmeah. So what is the Braisa coming to tell me, Enonemes? What does that mean, Enonemes?
Maybe think Enonemes because we don't believe her because we don't need her to believe that she's a Tmeah because we would assume she's a Tmeah anyways.
It sounds like Einan Emenis means she's not believed Lahatir es Atzma Lekohen, and she's not believed Lesar es Chaverto Lekohen. But what is the meaning of not being believed? Again, you know, if there are 2 Eidim that testified that her friend, she and her friend were taken into captivity, then even without her statement, her friend would be Tmeah. So what's exactly going on over here? So again, I'm just pointing out the glitches, the problems as we go through this braisa. The Gemara is going to analyze this braisa with a fine-tooth comb, with a magnifying glass, to go through every single case. Here's the third case. This is called, in the language of the Gemara, mitziasa. Ani v'chaverti tmeya. So as far as herself is concerned, she's confessing that she's tmeya. That's okay. Nemenes al atzma. she's believed as far as herself is concerned. And again, that's another application of the principle of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura. But Eina Nemenes Al Chaverta, which means that she cannot aser her chaverta to kahuna, but rather she, her friend, is muteris lakuna.
That's a repeat of what we saw before.
And not only that, why should a friend be muteris lakuhuna, assuming that there are two edim, that she, her friend, was a shvuya? I mean, then she's asur lakuhuna. Aniva chaverti tahora, this is already the sefer, where she's claiming about herself that she's tahora, and we've already seen over and over again that she's not believed. But on the other hand, she's testifying about a friend, that a friend is tahora. Nemenes al chaverta and nemenes al atzma. This is the only part of the price that I really understand. Because, as we said earlier, one witness is believed to be metayer ashruya. So we have here, let's just summarize, we have four different variations over here in this brisa, and we can really split the brisa into part one and part two. In part one, she is testifying on herself in a way that's different than what she's saying about her friend. Correct? So in the Reisha, she says, Ani Tmeh V'Chaverti Torah. And then in the Sefer, she says, Ani Torah V'Chaverti Tmeh. So she's always switching the tune around between what she says about herself and what she says about her friend. In the second half of this brisa, that's going to be a case where she says the same thing about both herself and her friend, which again breaks down into two variations. Either she says ani v'chaverti tmeya, or she says ani v'chaverti tahora. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon an analysis of each part of this brisa, calling the first part of the brisa, the first case, reisha dereisha. The second is considered the reisha. The third, as we said, excuse me, is the mitziyasa. And the fourth case is called the sefer, just to get the name straight. And now the Gemara can analyze all these four cases. Omar Mar, which means the brisa says the following. And this is the reisha of the brisa. Ani tahora v'chaverti tmeya. Correct? As you recall,
this
is called the reisha. Again, it's not the reisha of the reisha, because in the reisha she says ani tmeya v'chaverti tahora, but in the reisha, which means the seifa of the reisha, it's ani tahora v'chaverti tmeya eina nemenes. She's not believed. She's not believed on herself to be metara herself, and she's not believed against her friend to be metame her friend, which sounds like her friend is tahora. So the Gemara asks, "Hechi dami? What's the case? If there are no edim about the fact that they were nishbu, that these two women were taken into captivity, is al atma my lom nehemna? Why shouldn't she believed? Shouldn't she believed on herself? After all, nishbesi tahora ani kamra." She's telling us first and foremost that she became a shvuya, she was taken into captivity, and secondly that nothing happened there, and that's clearly a case of hapesha asar hapesha hiti ela pshita, by process of elimination. It's got to be deika eidim, that there are two eidim testifying that she's a shvuya, and therefore she's asura midin shvuya, and she cannot be believed to be matara herself. On the other hand,
so that's what, problematic at this point.
Well, so far it's so good, but what's problematic is what it says here in the resh. It says that if she says chaverti tmeya einan emenes,
right.
What does that mean, einan emenes?
Right.
I mean, in the case of her friend should be tmeya in any event, because we have eidim that she was a shvuya. Yeah.
We should
correct
for ages,
and we don't even need our ages, correct?
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if she would testify about her friend, that her friend is Tahora, that we have in the Reisha, and she is Nemenes. And that I can grant you, because even if there are Edim on the Shvuya, right, that's what the Gemara calls B'di'ika Edim, nevertheless, she can still be Metayer. She's no different than any one single witness, or an Eved or a Shivka, to be Metayer her friend. And that's going to be, as I said before, the Mishnah later on, Adaf Chav Zayin, that any one witness is believed to be Metayer a Shvuya. Okay. So again, what the Gemara is saying now is that we're talking about a case of Ika Edim. Therefore, it's very clear that whether or not she says Tmei about herself with a confession, or she says Tahor about herself, she's going to be Tmei. She doesn't have a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir. We can now understand the Reisha of the Reisha, that when she testifies about her friend, that her friend is Tahora, she's believed because one aid is believed to say, and be Metayer a Shvuya. In the safe of the Reisha, which we call the Reisha, when she says about her friend that she's Tmeya, that also makes sense because we have Eidim that she's a Shvuya. But now at this point, we're going to get stuck with the Mitziyasa. Ema Mitziyasa, which is the third of the four cases. And there she says, Ani v'chaverti Tmeya. We're both Tmeya. So in this case, what happens? As far as herself is concerned, Nemenes al Atzma, she's believed. But as far as her friend, she's not believed. So the Gemara is going to ask, Ani v'chaverti tmei Nemenes al Atzma, Ani Nemenes al Chaverta, V'i de'ika Edim, V'ter Edim, Amaylo Mehemna, why shouldn't be she believed that her friend is Tmei L'Kohen? Her friend is Memela Asura L'Kohen, based on two Edim that testified against her that she's a Shvuya. So the whole business of Eino Nemenes al Chaverta in the case of the Mitziyasa makes no sense. And in that case we were on the mark when we asked this question. Ela Pshita, so now we have to go back and undo what we did until now and assume Deleka Edim, that there are no Edim on the Shevi. And if that be the case, there's no Edim on the Shevi, we begin to understand why, even if she testifies about her friend, that her friend is Tmeya, she's not believed. And that is because her friend is assumed, based on her own testimony, to be Tahora. And now she wants to say about her friend that she's Tmeya, she's not believed to say Tmeya. When the Mishnah says that one Eid is believed, that's only Litara, but not Litama. But the Gemara says, "Hey, Masefa, what about the fourth case in the Brice? If there are no Edim, Aniva Chaverti Tahora is Nemenes al Chaverta Veinu Meres al Atzma Idaleka Edim Atzma Amaylo Mehem. Why shouldn't she believe about herself? She has a Pesha Asar who a Pesha Yitir. Because now you're telling me Daleka Edim." So to summarize the sugya up until this point, there is no way of consistency of assuming that the entire Brice in all four cases is talking about either the Ika Edim or the Leka Edim. If it's a case of the Leka Edim, then we're not going to understand why she's not believed to say about herself Tahorani, after all she has a Peshas and Peshahit there. And if on the other hand, be the Ika Edim, why isn't she believed to say about her friend that she's Tmeya, since there's no testimony that could be Matire her friend? Elopshita, says the Gemara, Bidiika Edim. Is what are we going to do over here? Resha Vasefa, Diika Edim, Mitziyasa, Deleka Edim? We've already proven that in the Mitziyasa, where she says about her friend that her friend is a Tmeya, she's not believed. So by definition, ipso facto, that's a case of Leka Edim. And now you're telling me that the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about a case of Ika Edim. Or Abai says that we're stuck against, you know, our back is stuck against the wall, and we have no other option other than to split this Brisa, break up its integrity, if you will, and assume that Reisha the Seifa is Ika Edim. In the Reisha and the Sefer, there are Edim. And that's why, let's just go through it again. In the Reisha, she can either be metame herself by her own admission, or alternatively, even if she denies it and she says she was the Torah, she doesn't have a Pesha Asa, Pesha Yitir, and therefore she's not believed. As far as Chavrta is concerned, if she wants to be metire her Chavrta, then fine, she is believed as one aid. If on the other hand she wants to be Metamea Chavrta, we don't even need her testimony. Her Chavrta is Tmeya in any event. But in the case of the Mitziyasa, we're going to have to assume Deleka Edim. In other words, the reason why she's not Nemenes to Aser her Chavrta is because it's a case of Leka Edim, and therefore she, meaning the Charita, would be believed to say that she's Tahora with a Peshas and Peshitir, and the first lady is not believed to say that our friend is Tmea. So it all works out, but only if we assume that the Mitziyasa is a case of Leka Edim, there are no Edim, and if there are no Edim in the Mitziyasa, then we understand why she's not Nemenis Al Chavrita, La'osra, because she cannot create an Isra Al Chavrita when there's no Edim, but the Reish and the Sefer, where she's believed, or on herself, she's not believed to say Tara, that's because B'de'ika Edim. So that's our Baye, and that's what I call Roman numeral number one in this sugya. We're going to now go into Roman numeral number two, which is Rav Papa's going to make an attempt to reestablish the integrity of this Braisa without having to split it up and break it into parts and say that part of it is with the Ika Edim, part is Leka Edim, Amara Papa, Kula De'ika Edim. Now, if Kula, if the entire Braisa is talking about a case where there are Edim, then we're going to have trouble with the Mitziyasa, if you remember, because she claims about her friend Tmea and she's not believed to say Tmea, but there are Edim. What sense does that make? And here, Rav Papa makes a very interesting move, I would say. And he wants to say that there's something missing in the text of the Braisa. And that is that whatever she says, there's always going to be, in every one of the four cases, another aid that contradicts her. Again, an aid from the street. Meaning an objective third party. So now we're going to go through all four cases and look at this Braisa from the perspective of Rav Papa, that whatever she says, she's being contradicted by what we call Eid Echad. Mm-hmm. And in the language of the Shas, that's called Ika Eid Echad de Ka Apich. Apich means hafuch. That says the exact opposite. So let's go through it now. We start with the Reisha of the Reisha. Amra, she said, Ani Tmea, Vechaverti Tahora. And now we're going to have to add, according to Rav Papa, the Amar La Eid Echad. The Eid Echad is now going to contradict her and say just the opposite, At Tahora, Vechavertech Tmea. So in such a case, you might think that his testimony against her knocks off her testimony. Well, that might be true as far as Hachavrata, but let's take first the case of herself. Ihi shavisa lenafshe chaticha disura. We have the following rule, that when a person admits or accepts upon themselves that the situation warrants an isur, no one could be makish that. A person is believed al atzmo more than 1,000 witnesses, so that even though he's telling her that she's tahora, but by her own confession she's tmea, and that's it. And that's what the Reisha of the Reisha means when it says that she's believed to say Tmea. But now she says about her friend Tahora, and the aid is saying Chaverta Tmea. Oh, here we have a very interesting and exciting breakthrough. Chaverta Mishtaira Afuma Dida. Mishtaira means she becomes Muteres. We watch on Shari means mutter, based on the testimony of her, of the first of the two ladies. In other words, even though she's claiming about her friend Tahora, and she's being contradicted by an Eid Echad, who's an objective third party, and he's saying, no, Tmea. In other words, I can testify that I know that she had this pollution, right, this rape situation. Nevertheless, he's not believed and she's believed. And why is that so? This is a fascinating breakthrough. So this is called, in the Lashon of Ula, which appears in a few sugis and shas, that kol mokom shehemina Torah eid echad, harei kan shnayim. That whenever the Torah believes one aid, it elevates that aid to the status of two aidim, and if he's contradicted by another aid, that's aid echad against two aidim. So in other words,
aid echad gets...
Yeah, the Torah says that the following testimony is believed, and we can put it in brackets. That's what the testimony is. And that testimony is believed with the testimony of one witness. And it always goes in one direction. Again, I don't want to get off course here because we'll never get out of it. But, for example, if a woman's husband is lost at sea, and we don't know if he survived the shipwreck, then the Torah believes one witness to say Meis Baileich, but only to say Meis Baileich. The Torah never gave credibility to one aid to say Lo Meis Baileich. And therefore, if one aid says Meis Baileich, since the Torah is believing one aid, that one aid is elevated to the status of two aidim, and now when the second aid comes in, he says Lo Meis Baileich, contradicting the first aidim, he's aid Echa B'Mokom Shnayim. He's one against two. And one against two is Klum, is nothing. Here too, we're giving credence and credibility to the claim of Tahora. If there's one aid that testifies about this Shvuya, and it doesn't matter who that aid is, we said it could be an Eved, it could be a Shivcha, it could be another Shvuya, it doesn't matter who it is. That witness is believed to say Tahora. And once that witness is believed single-handedly to say Tahora, then that witness is elevated to the status of Shnei Eidim. And therefore, when he, this Apith guy, comes in and he says, well, I know that she was Tmeya, she was Nitmeis, then it's Eid Echon against Shnayim. And he's not believed.
Is that only because it's the first, or same Tahor, or the first?
Is that only what if they came together at the same time? Okay, that's going to be a gigantic machlokes. We'll get to it.
Is it only because it's the case that you presented before of the saying that I saw that your husband died?
And the Torah gave them manus to say Meis Baileich. Here the Torah gives my manus to say Tahora. That gives the Eid Echad a status of Shnayim, but the Torah never gave the opposite them manus.
That's what I'm asking. The Torah never gave that. That's just Xeris HaKasuv. That's...
I don't know. For that, we'd have to really learn the sugya in the sixth parak of Yevamos.
It sounds like it's a leniency, in other words.
It could be because of the possibility that he'll come alive. Again, you have to know the nuances of the sugya. But the basic principle is Ula's principle. It's the famous principle of Ula. Kol mokem shemina Torah yachid harei kan shnayim. And again, it only works in one direction. The Torah gave them manus to one aid in a single direction and not in the other direction. Okay?
One direction meaning in the positive? What do you mean by one direction?
I don't know. It might change from case to case, but as a general rule, it seems to be right that it's in the lekula and not lekhumra. Okay, so let's now make a sort of an overview of what we have over here. According to Rav Papa, we understand the resha of the resha. How so? When she claims Tmeya and the Eid Echad says Tahora, we have the principle of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura. When she says about her friend Tahora, she's believed like two witnesses, and therefore even though she's being contradicted by this aid who's now testifying that her friend was Nitmeis, he's Eid Echad against two Eidim. And therefore he's not believed.
This is these obstacles, I guess, we've gone through, is preferred to Roman rule number one of separating the ratio.
Well, I would say the following: there's a plus and a minus on each side of the equation.
Right.
Meaning, Abai's problem is that he's splitting up the Bryce into parts,
exactly,
in which Ikaidim, Lekaidim. Well, Papa's problem is
that
where does it say that she was contradicted? You know, that's a chunk of the Bryce that was omitted. But frankly speaking, I'm excited about Rav Papa, not just because now in all four cases there are Eidim, and that maintains a consistency, but I'm more excited about the Chiddush Ledina of Rav Papa. Meaning, above and beyond the question of who convinces us between Abai and Rav Papa about what the price had in mind, what I'm excited is about the halachic implications and chidushim that are inherent in Rav Papa's presentation. So again, so far we have the Reisha of the Reisha, and I'll just mention to you that there's a gigantic machlokes about this principle of Eid Echad Neman Kishnayim. According to one school of thought, which is headed up by the Rambam, that principle is absolute. I'll explain in a minute. Let's go to the second sheet against the Rambam. And that's the Shita of the Ritva and the Ran. This principle is conditional. It doesn't always work. It's not absolute. What is the condition? The condition is that the aid that came in Lakula, which in this case is the woman who said about her friend Tahora, came first. And then, and only afterwards, did the second aid come in and say Tmeah. Once we accepted the first aid, who came in first, we now elevate that aid to the status of Shnei Eidim and we apply the principle of Ula. However, says the Ritva and the Ran, if both witnesses came together, then from the get-go there was a hakhasha in which they were sort of, if you pardon the drama, they were yelling at each other, each one claiming you're lying. And in that case, we never got a chance to accept any of the two Eidim because the two Eidim hakhasha were blown out of the water from the get-go. The only time, according to the Ritva and the Ran, that we can activate the principle of Ula is when in stage one, Bezdin accepted the first aid that said Lakula, that was Matir, and said Tahora, or for example, Meis Bailech in that Sugya, and then after we had a Kabbalas Eidus, and we elevated that aid by virtue of the Torah law to two Eidim, then the second aid comes in to be Machrish, then we say, Ein Divrei Eid Echad B'makum Shnai. But if they both came together, we don't even know which aid is to accept. We're going to basically send them both home running because he says yay and he says nay and we're totally confused. That's called Eid HaKosh. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Hilchos Isuri Bia Perkei Tefes, accepts this Gemara as an absolute rule. When the Halacha believes the Eid HaMatir, it means that he has precedence. His testimony is accepted. In this case, it's a she, right? Her testimony is accepted when she says Tahora. And it doesn't matter even if someone is coming at that very same second to be machish, to yell and scream and say, you're no good liar, and she was Tmeya, and I saw the Maisa Bia. It's irrelevant. Why? Because the Torah believes that Matir, that Eid HaMatir, to be Matir, and that's going to be Neman Kishnayim, that's going to be believed like 2 8.
Well, that's the question that I asked before. Is that, are we working as like a Gzeres of custom, or is there logic here?
Again, the logic is the following.
Is the halacha trying to find a way to be Matir?
In other words,
because if
you're, it depends what you mean by logic.
I'm saying the case head to head here, yeah. I mean, that idea that it's, yeah. That we have to just throw it out and start again seems that's.
Let me explain, yeah. Aaron. The what I was makabel for my Rebbe, not in this context, but I'm just saying in general, is that we often make the mistake of identifying the Talmudic logic with human logic. So if you're asking me, is this Gemara logical? Are the principles here logical? My answer to you is yes, but that doesn't mean that I can convince you that there's some rational explanation for
it. Right, a halachic logic.
So let me explain the halachic logic. The halachic logic is that premise number one is al pishnayim edim yokum dover, which means that we need two witnesses. Less than two witnesses is not sufficient. That's premise number one. Premise number two is that in very rare cases, the Torah says that a certain testimony is believed with one witness. Now again, I can't rationalize that in human logic, but that's what the Torah tells me now. When I take the two principles and I combine them together, then there's a Talmudic logic that says that since the first principle is absolute that we need to aid them, then the exceptions to the rule have to be placed within that context. And therefore those cases where the Torah believes a certain nemanus, a certain edus, even though it came from the mouth of one witness and only one witness, the Torah is saying that we believe them. And believing means that there are two Eidim here. And that's the Talmudic logic. The Torah never gave them nemanus to the opposite testimony. And therefore the opposite testimony remains one Eid. The first testimony, Lekula, Lahatir, becomes like two Eidim. Why? Because how can the Torah be Matir and Iser Erva, like for example, a case of Meis Bailech where she's an Eishes Ish, or how could the Torah be Matir a Shmuel a Kohen when she's assumed to have had this beer with the guy? The answer is the Torah must be saying that the Nemanus is absolute. And absolute Nemanus means that of two Eidim. That's the Talmudic logic. Okay, I don't want to beat this horse because, okay. No, I'll tell you why.
We have so much. The other ones also too.
Well, no, the Torah never gave them manis to that. The Torah would give them manis if they were two edim, because
the Torah,
then
the Torah doesn't give them, the person that's saying
Tmeya,
she had Tmeya, that she had religion.
The Torah didn't give any that manis other than that of one aid.
But only to the one that's matir.
Correct. The Torah gave them manis only to the one that's matir. So Ula basically says that if the Torah is believing an eid echad when you really need two edim, it must be that the Torah is considering that eid like two edim.
Is that matir? The Torah only gives the power of two edim. One eid is two edim in to be matir. Is that just gzeiras hakasuv? Is there anything?
Yeah.
Gzeiras hakasuv.
Yeah, that's gzeiras hakasuv. But the gzeiras hakasuv gives us. And produces the logic of
the custom, then that
correct.
Wins out when the two head
correct.
Head,
correct.
So then that wins out.
Right.
But that's like a major chiddush.
A major chiddush, and it comes from Rav Papa.
It's like the major chiddush of the Torah.
Correct.
That somebody that's been
here in our case, I'm not sure if it's the Torah that's doing it or the Rabbanan are doing it. You have to really work okay. that out. All right, let's go on now to what we call the Reisha. The Reisha meaning the second case in the Reisha. What happens here? Here she says, Ani tahora v'chaverti tmeya. And again, we're going to apply the logic of the principle of Shmuel, Rav Papa. V'amalei echad hepech hadvarim. What's hepech hadvarim? At tmeya v'chavertach tahora. Oh. As far as she's concerned, Cave unto Ika Edim. Again, according to Rav Papa, in all four cases in this price, there are Edim that she was a Shvuya. Is Lav Kol Kamini? She doesn't have the power to be Matir herself and claim Tahorani. So even before the aid contradicted her, she would not be believed. How much more so after the aid contradicted her? But where is the significance of the aid as an aid HaMakrish? Of Hepuch Dvareha, when she says Chaverti Tmeya, if she says Chaverti Tmeya, then Chaverta Mishtaria Apuma di Eid. In other words, had this aid not come in to contradict her, then Enochinami, she would be believed to say that her friend is Tmeya because we have Aidin that she was a Shvuya. But now that the aid contradicts her, and again, we give special nemanos. Right, it's two against one because we give total credibility to the aid who says that she's Tahora. That again jacks up that testimony to the power of two aidim. And therefore, when she says that her friend is Tmeya, it's Eid Echad b'makom Shnayim. Now, at this point, we could perhaps ask the following question: what really is the chiddush here of this ratio, which means the sefer of the ratio? Because as far as her lack of nemanis on herself in the case with the two edim, that for sure we know. And as far as the fact that one aid is believed like two edim, that we already established in the ratio of the ratio. Oh. So here I want to share with you an insight of the Ritva. The Ritva wants to say that there's an additional chiddush here in the seifa of the reisha, which again the Gemara calls the reisha. Even though again we've already established in the reisha of the reisha this din that once someone is believed to be metayer, then he has the status or she has the status of two edim. What's the additional chiddush here? Says the Ritva. I'm going to read it to you. Lozu bilvad sheha isha shenishbeis ima mitoch sheshasa ima kol yimei shivyasa velo zozi yoda mitachas yoda hi yodas heite v'nitmeis varehi nemenes lehatira afilu kshe'edach en makhin shosa el afilu eidechot she'en hu shoe ima kol kach betzavta kol shebeiro leshitora harei hu neman afilu mchaverta shosa ima. In this second case, there's a strong havamina to say that we should believe her and not him, because she was together with her friend in captivity, Yomam Valaila, 24/7, for the entire period of time. They were never separated. and therefore she certainly has is privy to the information as to whether or not she was defiled. And therefore, in the Reisha of the Reisha, where she claims about her friend, that Chaver Toch Tmeya, okay, Chaver Toch Tmeya is, we believe the, just one second, let me just get this straight. Again, in the Reisha of the Reisha, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. In the Reisha of the Reisha, what does she say? She says Chaverti Tahora. She's testifying to Litara. Then you might have assumed that the reason why she's believed and not the aide is because she really has a hands-on situation with regard to this Shevi. The aide Echad, what does he know? He really doesn't know anything.
Doesn't sound very convincing. I mean, the aide Echad saw that that she had relations. You don't have to be there 24 hours.
Okay, but let's get to the Sefer of the Reisha, right? So again, in the Reisha of the Reisha, the Chiddush here is that even though she says what? She says about her friend Tahora, correct? She sends about her friend Tahora.
There's another aid that says.
And even though what? The aid is not believed to say what? To say Tmeya. So again, we said that the aid is not believed to say Temeo because all we need is one aid to say Tahora. We could have interpreted differently. That maybe the reason why the aid Echad is not believed is because really he may have seen something, he may have not seen something. She's the one who has the superior perspective. But I would have thought in the Sefer, where she says Chaverti Temeo, then even though she's being contradicted by one aid, maybe we should believe her. I, the aid, says that she's Tahora. Okay, you know, whenever he came in on a spot check, Aaron, you're missing the point here.
Sorry.
Whenever he came in on a spot check, Enoch Hinami, he didn't see her being defiled. But she says that I was there in the middle of the night, and I know that she was defiled. So I would have said that in such a case, we should believe her to testify about her friend that she's Tmeya, rather than believe him who says that she's Tahora. Kamash Malan, the Sefer says the Ritva is coming to, the Sefer, the Reisha, which we call the Reisha, is coming to establish that this is a separate din. And the din is that since he, this Eid Echad, is testifying that she is what? She's Tahora. Then we believe him. And once we believe him, he has the status of two aides.
Why assume the aide is somebody who maybe he's the guard, that he's there in the room? In other words, why make this assumption that the aide is somebody that doesn't really know what's going on? I would say the aide is there the same plane.
Again, the Ritva, again, I'll just read to you. You're asking a cash on the Ritva. We'll try. But let's just first hear the language of the Ritva. So we're making sure that it's not Burson, it's the Ritva. The Ritva says, Afilu Eid Echad She'ein Shoa Ima Kol Kach. He's not with her on a regular basis.
Right.
Maybe they have separate, you know, cells for the males and the females. I don't know.
That's the Chiddush even
And Meir Olel, he's testifying she Tahora. Why should he believe to say that she's Tahora? Chaverta Sheshasa Ima Bitzavta together is Makhisha V'Omeres She Tmeya. Is therefore I might think that she's Tmeya. Again, this is all just to explain why the Braisa had to go into such great detail, reiterating what we know as a principle, that whoever is that aid who's saying Tahora is believed like Shnei Edim and upgraded to the status of two witnesses. We see that clearly from the second part of the Reisha, what we call the Reisha, because there it's her word against his, and yet we believe him. Why do we believe him when he's not Shasa Ima Bitzavta? And the answer is because he's testifying that she's Tahor.
It's a huge fetish. It's a huge, because you would think that
you're stuck in the Havim.
No, you would think that like having the status of Tahor is like all or nothing. Like you either are, or like there's one little like chink in the armor and you're not a Tahara. You would think that like even one person testifying and would throw like a doubt onto the Tahara. you know, especially someone who is with them, like it's saying. It's just very, it's a huge chiddush.
Okay. But keep in mind that once we assume that an Eid Echad is believed to say that she's Tahora, that becomes an absolute rule. Okay. Next, now we get to the Mitziyasa. That was the part that tripped up Abaye. Says Rav Papa, when she says in the Mitziyasa, Ani v'chaverti tmeya, is the Amar lo Eid Echad at v'chavertech Tahora. As far as Ihi, as far as she's concerned, Shavya Nafshe Chatir Nisura, that doesn't surprise us. Now, as far as her friend is concerned, is Chaverta Mishtaira Afuma D'Eid. Is there any Chiddush here? Again, we're reiterating two principles. We're beating a dead horse here that we've already learned in the previous part of the Braisa. Namely, she's not believed. I'm sorry. She's believed despite the fact that the Eid Echad says she's Tahora because of Shavya Nafshi Chatir Nisura. He's going to be believed despite the fact that she's saying about her friend Tmeya because he's testifying that she's Tahora. And we believe that one witness who says she's Tahor.
Maybe here the Chiddush is like what we learned before, that you can't divide someone's testimony. It's either take it all of it or you take none of it. And here we're kind of like taking what she said and only believing half of it.
Okay.
No.
So, I, you know what, Aaron? I need to think about what you're saying. But b'mechila, I just want to see how the Gemara develops it. And then, in fact, the Gemara hasu lamali, what does the Mitzia add? Hainu reisha, it's just reiterating the two principles that we already know. Principle number one, shavya nafshi chaticha disura, even if the Eid is makisha and says tahora. Chiddush number two is that the Eid Echad is believed to say tahora because he's believed like two Eidim. Mao de tema, and for this we have to know about Shimshon Agiba. Hani travayu tahoros ninhu v'haydika amra hachi tomos nafshi implishtim hidika avda. Tomos nafshi implishtim means when Shimshon knocks down the pillars and he dies together with the plishtim. But that's not relevant here. I mean, we're not learning Tanakh. But what does it mean, tomos nafshi implishtim? So let's see what goes over here. The Hava Mina Mao de Tema is the following. That the truth is that they're both Tahoros. Now this is very strange. She's saying that we're both Tmeya. Aniva Chaverti Tmeya. So what's the Hava Mina to say that we should be Metame both of them? I'm sorry. What's the Hava Mina that we should be Metaya both of them? Correct? She's saying that we're both tomatoes. What's the happening that we should be retired both of them? And the answer is that she cannot tolerate a situation where she becomes Tahora. I'm sorry, where she becomes Tmeya and her friend becomes Tahora. It's either both of us are going to be Tahoros or both of us are going to be tomatoes. She cannot live with the possibility that she is Tmeya and her friend is Tahora. And since she knows that she's not going to be believed to be Matire herself, again, if you grant that premise, therefore, she realizes that if she says about her friend that her friend is Tahora, then her friend will be established as Tahora, whereas as far as herself, she's not believed to be Matire herself, and she becomes Tmeya. So you know what she opts to do? She opts to say that both I and my friend are both Tmeos. Now in this case, we certainly know that she cannot be Metame her friend because there's an Eid Echad that's Machish her and says that your friend is Tahor. That's not a Chiddush. But we might assume in this case that since the Eid Echad is saying that she's Tahora, and the only reason we can be Tami her is because of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura, there's a Havamina to say that there is no Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura. that she really didn't mean to say that I am Tmeya. She only wanted to say she's Tmeya in order to say that both of us are Tmeya, meaning what really the thrust of what she's saying is that her friend is Tmeya, and even though she knows very well that her friend is Tahora, she's going to say that her friend is Tmeya because she doesn't want a situation in which she becomes Tmeya and her friend becomes Tahora. That's not something that she could live with. And therefore, she would rather suffer this loss and be metame herself, even though she knows she's Tahora, rather than have a scenario in which her friend is Tahora and she's Tmeya. So what does she do? She figures the only option is to be metame both herself and her friend. Again, because she realizes there's no option to be metire herself, she'd rather go for the option of being metame both of them, because lest she say the truth. And if she says the truth, then she's afraid that her friend will be Tahora and she will be Tmeya, because they're not going to believe her on herself, but they'll believe her to be Matayer, her friend. So in order to avoid that terrible scenario, which in her mind is intolerable, she's going to claim that we're both Tmeyos. But really, in truth, we are both Tahoros. Now, why do we think we're both Tahoros? Because the Eid Echad is saying that they're both Tahoros. So we do have objective evidence to the fact that they're both Tahoros. In fact, the Bryce establishes that the Eid is believed as far as her friend, to establish that her friend is Tahora, because that's the nemonis of an Eid Echad Kishnayim. As far as she's concerned, we're not going to believe him against her, because she has the power of Shavya Nafshi Chatich Disura. But if we have reason to believe that when she said Tmeya, she really didn't mean it, she was only doing it for a purpose, an agenda that she had in mind, therefore once the Eid Echad says that she's Tahora, we should believe the Eid Echad, and therefore she should become Tahora. And that's what the Gemara says, Ma'u desema hani travayu tahoros ninu, that they should both be tahoros. Kamash malon, no. There's a din of shavya nafshi chaticha nisura, and even in a case where she asked both herself and her friend, as far as herself is concerned, we activate the principle of shavya nafshi chaticha nisura. So now Aaron, I'm ready for your svar, if you want. I wasn't prepared for it before. I was just
asking. It sounds like we're taking her single testimony of saying we're both Tahora, or we're both
Tmeya in this Tmeya case. We get to the case where we're both
right.
Tahora.
She's saying we're both. But we're kind of like picking and choosing. We're saying no for yourself. We don't believe you.
No, for yourself, we believe you because of Shavya Nafshe.
Right.
For her, you're not believed. Why? Because we have Eid Echad. And once there's an Eid Echad, the Eid Echad is always believed L'Tahara. So
isn't that like picking and choosing from a testimony, what we're believing or not believing? Isn't that?
Yes and no. I mean, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur is one of these super halachas, meaning this doesn't go even into the laws of credibility and nemanus. This is a separate halach of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur. I want to reveal a secret to you, but I don't want to confuse your mind. The Ktzos HaChoshen claims, in the name of the, I forgot who he quotes, that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur is like a neder. It's like to create a brand new Isur. It defies all the rules and regulations. Now we get to the Sefer. Ani v'chaverti Tahora. So again, according to our Papa's principle, Omer lo Eid Echad, Heipach HaDvarim. At v'chavertech tmeya. Oh, now we understand what's going on. She can't be believed to be matara self came of the ika aid of according to her pop in all cases of this price they're aid. Is lav kol kamini, she doesn't have the power to be matara herself. Chaverta, she wants to what? She wants to assume that a chaverta is tahora. Is Enochinami, we could believe her because Mishtaira Afuma Dida, even though the Eid is saying Tmeya, we believe her. Not because of the svar that we gave before, because she's Lo Zoza Mitachas Yoda, but rather because she is testifying to Hora. Fekti Gemara Hasu Lamali, what does this Sefer add to what we already know from the Reisha the Reisha? We already know from the Reisha the Reisha that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura. And if there are two Eidim, she's not believed to be Matara herself. We also have already established that any testimony litara is believed like shnei edim, and eid efer who's a makrish is not believed is hayne resha deresha. We've already established this all based on the brisa. Ma'od tema, there's a hava mina. Ki mehemne b'makom de pasla nafshe, aval b'makom de machshera nafsha, ema lo mehemne. What are we doing? We're saying that her friend is Tahora in this case, despite the fact that the aid is saying that her friend is Tmeya, and that's because we give a special demonus to where she says Tahora. But what if I would tell you that when she said Tahora about her friend, she had a vested interest, an agenda, and therefore I doubt whether she was telling me the truth. What was her agenda? Well, it works like this. If she would have said about her friend, about herself, that I'm Tmeya and I was violated, but my friend is Tahora, we have all the reason in the world to believe that she's being honest about it. But if she says about herself that she's Tahora, and she has a vested interest in being Metaira herself, because she has a boyfriend who's a Kohen, I'm just... is then, in order to be machazik this argument and say that this shavoy is the goyish captor, if there's such a word, that he was a big tzaddik, okay, meaning he was only interested in money, but although he was unethical about money, he was trying to squeeze money out of the Jewish people, but nevertheless he was ethical as far as pritzus Biarios is concerned. So what did she say? He didn't touch me and he didn't touch my friend. By saying that he didn't touch my friend, that strengthens her claim, which she hopes to be believed on, that he didn't touch her as well. And she thinks that now the Bezdin will accept the entire testimony, both as far as herself and as far as her friend is concerned. And basically she's testifying that she is Tahora and this Shaboy was not Ma'anis either of them. Now, as far as her friend is concerned, she should have credibility. So she's saying, well, if you're believing me that this Shaboy didn't violate my friend, believe me when I say that he didn't violate me either. He's just got a good record as far as rape is concerned, pardon the expression. And therefore there was a havmina to say that maybe the reason why she jacked up the testimony and said that my friend is Tahora is not because she was being honest about it, but this was the only way that she could salve, you know, her only salvation, to try to hope that they would believe her as far as herself was concerned. She was hoping they would believe her as far as her friend, which they would have believed her. They would have believed her based on the principle of Nemonis of Enedecha to say Tahora. Therefore, believe my testimony about myself, because consistently what I'm saying is that this Shaboy was not Ma'anis. And therefore the only reason she put forward this testimony in the Hava Mina about her friend that she's Tahora is only to bolster and strengthen her position when she claims with her testimony that she's a Tahora. And therefore in this case, since the Eid Echad is testifying that I know and I can testify that she's Tmeya, her friend, we should believe the Eid Echad and not believe her. Kamash Malah, no. A woman is nemenis to be Matair, her friend, and we're not going to accept this Havamina with all the psychological, you know, insights and all due respect. She's nemenis to say about her friend that she is Tahor. Which leaves us, Rabosa, with 5 minutes to at least introduce the Mishnah of Kahuna, which I was hoping, Aaron, you'd be here for that Mishnah, so we'll see about technology and all that. But basically, the Mishnah is going to find a parallel case where we don't know whether a person is a Kohen. In fact, we don't know whether two people are Kohenim. So we have a suffix about Reuven and about Shimon. But Chayn, the Mishnah says a similar idea, Shnei Anoshim, and we don't know what the Yichus is. Ze Omer Kohen Ani, Ze Omer Kohen Ani. They're not testifying about each other reciprocally, they're only testifying about themselves. Einam Nemanim. A person is not believed to establish a Cheskas Kahuna based on his own testimony, which means, as Rashi explains, we cannot call him up first to the Torah, we cannot allow him to duchen, and he certainly cannot eat from kodshim etruma. But ubizman sheheim me'idim zeh es zeh. But if each one is testifying on his friend, then he becomes an objective aid. Then hare elu ne'emanim. Both are going to be established as what we call cheskas kahuna. We're not going to be choshesh that they had a collusion, you know, somehow they got together and they said, all right, you know what, you testify on my behalf, I'll testify on your behalf, and we'll make a deal. No, we believe each one as an aid on his friend, and a kohen becomes muchsak to kahuna based on the testimony of one aid. Adkan shitas hatanakam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein malin l'kuhuna al pi eid echad. An eid echad, with all due respect, is not belief for kuhuna. Kuhuna has the same status as a dover shebe'erva, and in a dover shebe'erva we need no less than two eidim, and therefore each one is not going to be believed on his friend.
Is it the erva issue, or is it the alias of the...
It seems like it's a doraisa halacha. We're not talking about some sort of maila b'kahuna, but we're talking about the fact that kahuna is a doraisa halacha, and any testimony about a person's yichus is like a dovish of erva, and therefore requires two
erva than any
erva means
any issue of
yuchsin
is erva.
Any issue of according to Rabbi Yehuda, yuchsin.
So why are we more concerned with kohen in terms of?
No, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to suggest that the Chachamim here made a big mistake. They thought that since we're dealing with Achilas Truma, and we're dealing with Achilas Kodshim, so we should judge it as Isurim. And if we judge it as Isurim, Eid Echad Nem Bisurim. So Rabbi Yehuda got up and he said, no, we're not dealing with Isurim, we're dealing with Yuchsin. Isurim is only the byproduct or the repercussion, but we're dealing with the yichus of a person. Whenever we're dealing with the yichus of a person, whether it's kahuna or other dine yuchsin and kahal and so forth and so on, it's always going to be defined and categorized as a davish b'erev that requires two eidim. So this is just an occasion. Rabbi Yehuda is a universal application, a universal rule that applies specifically in the case of kahuna, because he thinks that the Chachamim here made a big mistake when they identified kahuna as Isurim. And now we get two more shitas in the Brice, in the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Amosai, when do I agree with Rabbi Yehuda that as far as Yuchsin is concerned, Eid Echad is not believed, but Makom Sheyesh Oririn, when we really have a Suffolk? In other words, we don't have a Chazaka that this Jew has been duchening for the last, you know, 50 years, and no one, you know, raises a voice against him. No, we're talking about a case where there are Oririn. Oren means there's a call, there's some sort of a rumor that's circulating that these are not really Kohanim. Or perhaps that they're Kohanim Psulim, meaning they came from an illegal kahuna relationship between a Kohen and a Grusha or a Zona or Chalol or whatever it might be.
So when you have people that join congregations and they walk in and say they're Jewish,
correct.
You just accept them by their word.
Right. Do you accept them? Do you not accept them? According to our laws, you can accept them unless there are Orin. Once there are Orin, then B'makom she'en Orin, Ma'alin l'kun al p'yed echad, we can accept the Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda holds, forget it. You want to talk about the Yichus of a Kohen? I don't care whether he was duchenin, whether he wasn't duchenin, whether he's in truma or not. You need two aid. Comes along Rabbi Loz and he says, no, I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, if there's a question about his status, there are orin, the word is out that he's not a kohen kosher, then I need two aid. But in the absence of orin, then we can assume that he is a kohen kosher. Just 1 second, only because I want to get in the end of the Mishnah before Ma'ariv. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mishum of Shimon ben Askan Mailin Lekuhuna Al Pied Echot. Now, we don't know exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying over here. Is he coming to argue on the Tanoim that came before him? It sounds like it, because he's being quoted as another Tana. But yet, when you think about it, he belongs to one of two camps. Either he's reiterating what the Chachamim say, that all you need in Kuhuna is Eid Echad, or perhaps he's on the side of Rabbi Lazar, and he's saying that Eid Echad is okay for Kuhuna as long as there are no Orin. So that's going to be the Sugyas HaGemara. But the fascinating thing about this Gemara, Rabosai, is the following. The Gemara is going to put our Mishnah on the side, and it's going to start the Perek from the beginning. Back to the beginning of the Perek. And the Gemara is going to go through five cases of Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Itir and try to understand the Chiddush in each one of the five cases. The first case is going to be when I say that this Sada belonged to your father, but I purchased it from him, and there was no independent evidence that it ever belonged to your father. The second case is when the Edom come in to testify that this is our signature and it's authentic, but we were Ketanim, we were Anusim, we were Psuli Edus. The third case is going to be a woman who comes in and says, yes, I was married, but I got a divorce. The fourth case is, yes, I was captured, but I was Tahora. And the fifth case is going to be the mission that we did tonight, namely that there are two women, both of whom were in captive, and they testify one against the other. And that's going to lead us to our mission here about the Kohen. There are two Kohenim, and each one is testifying reciprocally on the other Kohen. And what the Gemara is about to do is take upon itself a research project to go through case by case and see what's the chiddush in each case, which is a fascinating sugya that Amir Tz Hashem will pick up next week. Okay, then?